And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. Lots of news to talk about, folks. Lots of it. I'm going to do my best to give emphasis where I think it really is due and to, shall we say, de-emphasize things that I think need to be de-emphasized. Let me mention something in the news that needs to be de-emphasized, but it is nevertheless worthy of mentioning. There is an all-out attack on Mark Robinson, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. And I have to tell you, folks, I wrestle with this because some of the things that were said more recently, 2017 and 2018, it really have a little bit of a tinge of anti-Semitism, allegedly, that he said. And of course, I am a staunch supporter of Israel. I'm going to talk about Israel here in a couple minutes. So let me just say this. I am remaining supportive of Mark Robinson unless and until I hear something that proves to me definitively that this is something more than a planned strategic attack on the man and his character. I'm not buying the fact that he allegedly said these things. I'm simply not buying that it was him. I need more than the word of the Communist News Network in order to buy into that. I'm a little bit more concerned about some of these alleged anti-Semitic things that were said in 2017 and 2018. And here again, I trust that was 6 years ago, that maybe he was misunderstood or didn't speak well. He has said that, you know, there's some things that he said that he wished he had said a little bit differently. That gives me more pause, frankly, than the stuff that allegedly was said 10, 12 years ago. But I would urge everybody to pray for him, pray for his family, because when I ran for lieutenant governor, essentially the same thing was done against me. They couldn't find any kind of sexual accusations to make against me, but they made financial accusations. I'd had 3 bankruptcies, and I mean, oh my goodness, they just went to town on me that I had said that if your child was born with birth defects, it's because you sinned. I mean, they just made up stuff that just, you know, I never had 3 bankruptcies. I'd run a business up in Massachusetts, and after 10 years, the recession hit. I simply couldn't finish up what I started because my job was, my goal was to buy the business out of bankruptcy, but it just didn't work out. The financing dried up, the recession came through, and I simply couldn't sustain it, and I had invested a lot of my personal funds in trying to make this thing work, and of course, when it didn't work, I was forced to file bankruptcy. 1 bankruptcy in my entire lifetime. That's it. That's all there was. And that was because of a business investment I had made trying to make something work. But they turned it into, this guy's a financial reprobate. He's got, it's like, oh man, my wife and I used to joke trying to say someone light up. We said, well, we wouldn't vote for the guy that they're writing about. If you know, because the way they painted me, it was like, whoa, man, who could possibly vote for this crazy man? And then they, this lie about, you know, if you have, your child is born with birth defects, it's because you sin, which was either just out of ignorance, because I talked about sin is the cause of everything wrong in the world, but they didn't. Either they are ignorant, which is what they are, and when I say they, the mainstream media, is just completely biblically and spiritually ignorant, illiterate when it comes to these things. And they didn't understand that I was talking about cosmic sin. I was talking about the sinful condition of the entire universe. Romans 8 says the whole world groans in travail, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God. It groans. It's sick. Everything is wrong. That's the cause of problem, not because you did something wrong and therefore this happened to your child. I mean, that's ridiculous. I never believed that in my life, but they made it out to be that's the way I thought. So that every person with a child with any problems is because of your sin. And that's what E.W. Jackson said. I mean, and they had these big tech people pour hundreds of thousands of dollars in to promote those lies. So believe me, I know what it's like to have the left lie on you because they hate your guts. You know, I'm glad I'm going at it this way because I really don't want to give a whole lot of credence to the garbage that they're saying about Mark Robinson. And God forbid, if I find out I'm wrong, I'll just admit that I got it wrong. But this is where I stand for now. The things that were said and done, my campaign manager, when all of this was going on, they were trying to get me, same thing. They were trying to get the Republican Party to kick me off the ticket because I'd won the nomination for lieutenant governor. The problem was you couldn't do that because the delegates at the convention had selected me as their nominee. And there was no way party bosses could then kick me off the ballot. It just, I mean, they couldn't do to me what they did to Joe Biden, apparently. Apparently, the Democrats believe in democracy. So I guess that's the way their democracy works. But there was an all-out effort, and there were many Republicans involved in it as well, to get rid of me at all costs. So I understand what that is all about, and I understand exactly where that is coming from. So I'm praying for Mark Robinson and praying for his family and praying for him, and I trust you will do the same. And of course, continuing to maintain at least a willingness to deal with facts when facts are presented. I certainly don't trust the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel and the Communist News Network to give me facts about a black conservative, which they hate they hate conservatives in general. They hate black conservatives in particular because of what we represent. We represent an existential threat to their control over the black community. And so they can't possibly have people of darker skin saying that these leftists are a bunch of communists and Marxists who don't deserve to hold any power in our country because they are walking piles of destruction, bombs just waiting to go off, to explode in various parts of our culture, metaphorically speaking, of course, to explode and destroy our culture. And because that's exactly what they're doing. So be praying for him. I will leave it at that for now. I think I've said what needs to be said about that. The other thing I do want to mention today is I am shocked, frankly. Well, no, forgive me. That's the wrong word. I am dismayed because I'm never shocked by what these leftists do anymore because they are, again, they are walking repositories of destruction, and that's what they always leave in their wake. I mean, folks, let's face it. What we're facing right now in our culture right now, Barack Obama set this stuff off. He lit the fuse for it. A lot of this stuff, you know, the anti-Israel stuff, the violent protests, the anti-police stuff, the racial division, all that stuff, you know, the homosexuality, the radical position on abortion. You know, he had a radical position on abortion. He was the first one, because he did this in Chicago, who said if a baby was intended to be aborted and was born alive, it's okay to let the baby die. In fact, you should let the baby die because that was the will of the mother and the doctor, and their will should prevail. This man sowed the seeds of cultural poison in our society. He really did. So we should never be shocked but dismayed that the Justice Department once again releasing this letter from this idiot who tried to kill the president. This guy Routh, I guess is how his name is pronounced, in which he said he wanted to kill Donald Trump and that he would give $150,000 to anybody who got the job done. He apologized that he wasn't able to get the job done if he didn't get the job done, but he would offer $150,000 to anybody who would get the job done. Now, why would you publish that? Now, I'm a big free speech person, and I believe that the American people should always have as much information as it is consistent with our national security. I do believe there are some things that have to be held back. But to me, this is one of those things you could have waited until after the election. You could have waited until the president was safe in the cocoon of the White House, until President Trump was again safe in the cocoon of the White House. But oh, no. They wanted to get that out there. And do you all remember when we had the shooting in Nashville, this sexual deviant, I guess woman wanting to be a man, I think it was, goes into the school, shoots up the school, has written a manifesto. Do you notice we still don't know what that thing says? Now, why would they withhold that? When I say they, the authorities withhold that. But something like this, that specifically threatens a candidate for president of the United States and provides an incentive for people to go after him. I don't know whether the man has $150,000 to give to anybody, but I mean, just the mere suggestion of it. But they released it. Pray for President Trump, because he and his family need the angelic hosts surrounding them. And in fact, you know, let me just pause right now and pray about these two subjects I've just raised, and I want to get to something else that I think is really important to talk about. Heavenly Father, Lord, there is no question that there are circumstances and situations that arise that are just too much for us as human beings to handle on our own. We're so grateful that we can look to the hills from whence comes our help, knowing that our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, Lord, you know everything about everything, and we do not. We do pray for Mark Robinson, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, for him, for his family, his wife, his children, who right now, Lord God, must be hurting terribly about the things that are being said against their father. So we pray, Lord God, that you will comfort them and strengthen them in a very, very difficult time. And we pray for him, Lord God, that he would find his solace in you, that his relationship with you would deepen. And Lord God, we do pray for him to win, in spite of these attacks on him, for him to win the governorship, because we do believe that he is a godly man. We don't know what mistakes he may or may have not have made in his past, but we do believe that he's a godly man, and he's demonstrated by everything he said and what he's done serving as lieutenant governor that he wants the best for the people of North Carolina. And he wants the best. His definition of the best is that which is in line with your word. And so, Father God, strengthen him, grow him, mature him through this process. And Lord, send him people who will help him in spite of these accusations that have been made against him. And Father God, we are not people who are haters of truth. We just don't believe the lying institutions of CNN and MSNBC to say anything true about a conservative that's negative. They don't say anything true about President Donald Trump that's positive. Everything they say about him is negative, because they hate what we represent, and they hate us as Jesus said they would. So we pray for him. We pray for success. And Lord God, we pray that you would keep our hearts open to truth, but also to compassion and to forgiveness for someone who is really trying to serve you and serve our country rather than themselves, which is what the left is doing. They are seeking their own power, not seeking the best interests of the American people. And so, Lord God, we pray for Donald Trump as well. Lord, he needs angelic protection around him. We believe you provided it. Two attempts to assassinate him have failed, And we don't believe that's luck or coincidence. We believe that that's you, your guiding hand of protection. And Lord, we pray that that hand of protection would continue to be upon him, which we know you love him and we know it is, but upon his family, upon his wife, his children, Lord, his grandchildren, all of those people around him who we know that there are others who would love to hurt them in order to hurt him. So, Father God, we commit Donald Trump and his family and his team into your loving care to protect them, to lead them, to guide them all the way back to the White House, Lord God, because that is what we're asking for, because we desperately need him to be president rather than these Marxists who are now vying to be the top elected officials of the land, knowing that when the wicked rule, the people mourn. We know that Donald Trump is not perfect, but Lord, we believe that his impulse is toward righteousness rather than wickedness. And we ask you to give us the victory, not only for him, but for our country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, look, having gotten those two things out of the way, I want to talk a little bit today about Israel. I don't talk a lot about foreign policy because we've got so many internal problems. But I really believe that what is going on with Israel is so powerfully prophetic that we simply cannot ignore it. We just cannot ignore it. I was amazed. Were you at this strategic, I mean, almost miraculous. Now, we know that they relied on technology, but someone was brilliant in the execution of this that actually had beepers and walkie-talkies and their radios that were held by Hezbollah. Now, Hezbollah, of course, is coming out of Lebanon, which is just to the north of Israel. By the way, that Lebanon really belongs with Israel. Y'all knew that biblically, Lebanon is part of Israel. Now, that's not going to happen without divine intervention because Lebanon is establishes its own country. But the biblical geographical boundaries that God gave to the children of Israel, given to them by Moses, included Lebanon. But nevertheless, Hezbollah is really running Lebanon, and they have fired 10,000 rockets into Israel. I think in just the last few months, 10,000 rockets. They've killed thousands of Israelis. They have basically made the northern part of Israel uninhabitable. And Israel came up with something I have never seen before in my life in warfare. Of course, these devices have not been available for that long and not been used widely for that long. But somehow they manage to turn the very devices that are held by Hezbollah operatives into explosive devices that strategically and surgically killed many Hezbollah fighters. Brilliant. And I would say it's one of those almost biblical moments, because they did something that I've just never seen. I mean, not just for one or two people, but en masse, literally for hundreds. And then they came back with apparently a second wave of attacks. And they're talking about the fact that these exploding pagers and devices have undoubtedly got Hezbollah on a paranoid alert, afraid to use devices for fear that Israel might have sabotaged the device and turned it into an explosive weapon against them, which means they're going to have a harder time communicating with each other. Folks, you cannot tell me, you cannot to me, separate that kind of a sort of brilliant strategic move from the hand of God upon this nation. So let me say something that's important to say right here. This has come up on several occasions in my life and ministry, and it came up just recently in a situation very close to me. And I won't get into the details because it wouldn't be fair to and you wouldn't know who the people are involved anyway. where people were saying, but this is not, that's not real, that's not biblical Israel. Those aren't the real Jewish people. So we don't owe them any allegiance, we don't owe them any support. And of course, as that discussion went on, you start to hear doubts about the nature of the Holocaust and whether it really happened and all of that. Folks, that's the devil. Anybody who would convince Christians that the Israel that was born in a day on May 14th, 1948, is not biblical Israel is... they need to check their discernment mechanism. Because I'm telling you by the Holy Spirit, folks, Israel exists today by the hand of Almighty God. And the fact that Harry Truman was, if I'm not mistaken, the first political leader in the world to recognize the existence of Israel as president of the United States is also no accident. I preached a sermon, not this past week, but week before, talking about America as a providential nation, as a nation ordained by God, and sort of giving the biblical evidence for why that is. And I just find it interesting that from the very beginning, it felt like Israel and America were married. And I talked about the fact that God has Israel in the East and America in the West. God has Israel of the Old Covenant and America of the New Covenant. God has Israel as a nation that is birthed in faith in God, whether most Jews now acknowledge God or not. That's the truth, still the truth of the matter historically. And America that is birthed in faith in God. So we as Americans and as Christians have got to understand that what is happening in Israel is a bellwether. It is the canary in the coal mine for the direction in which the world is moving. And what's that direction? Absolute, unequivocal hostility against Israel and, by the way, against Christians. The two go hand in hand. And you see, we Americans, if you listen to these leftists, and they're so trying to divorce us from Christianity. I mean, Barack Obama went over to Egypt and gave a speech over there, one of his first foreign policy speeches. And we say, America's not a Christian nation. Y'all remember that? Yeah. America's not a Christian nation, if it ever was. That's a lie. America is a Christian nation. And the world perceives us that way, even if you have some idiots in our country who don't. The world perceives us that way as a Christian nation. I mean, if nothing else, by default. I mean, we're not Hindu, we're not Buddhist, we're not Muslim. We can have all of those kinds of people living in our country, but the predominant culture of America is Christian. I didn't even say predominant religion. It's beyond that. It's the cultural reality of what informs our country, our ideals, our behavior, our values, our traditions is Christianity. And when we say we are a Judeo-Christian nation, it means it means that we are informed by both the Old and the New Covenants, the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures. We need leadership in this country desperately that is going to stand with Israel. And I don't trust these leftists to do that. And the reason I don't trust them to do that is because it's not in their hearts, folks. For them, it is a matter of political expediency. I don't support Israel because I think it's politically expedient or it's going to do something for me. I mean, if I may, not to make put too fine a point on it, but if I may just say, I don't raise any money in the Jewish community. Really? So it's not like I have to say this because all my Jewish donors, I don't, never made a point to do that. I mean, some of I don't doubt that their Jewish people have donated, but That's not any significant part of what I do. And it's not something I look to. So it's not like I've got to say this because my Jewish supporters won't support me if I don't. I support Israel because it is deep in my heart based upon the word of God. And that's where America needs to be. That's not where the Democrat Party is, and that's not where the left is. I really believe that that's where Donald Trump is. That's why I always say you could debate, is Donald Trump's hand in God's hand? But I don't think anybody can debate that God's hand is on Donald Trump. I really don't. We've got to stand with Israel. God is speaking to the world through Israel right now. And I really believe that that one event was an indication of God's hand of genius on what Israel is doing. That is, it's beyond him. Because Jewish people, in spite of the stereotypes, Jewish people are not genetically superior, intellectually superior than any other demographic group in the world. You all may or may not be aware of this, but you know, forgive me for this footnote, but it's just worth taking note of. When Jewish people first began to arrive here at the turn of the century and before World War I, they were being tested, particularly for military service, and their IQs were very low. But they were only low because they had been deprived of any opportunity to develop themselves intellectually. As soon as the doors were open for them to start going to school and getting educated, guess what? Their IQs rose. And we know now that more than any other group in the world, they a disproportionate number of Nobel Prizes go to Jewish people. But it's not because they're inherently superior. It's because they have a culture of intellectual pursuit and development because they, and frankly, because they are blessed by Almighty God to be one of the first literate people in the earth. You had to be able to read in order to serve God. So all Jews were taught to read and write very early on, whereas most people in the world were illiterate when Jews were reading, except for the elites, of course, the most educated people in various cultures were, but not the average person. So it's the hand of God on the Jewish people. So we as Americans, as part of the key to our blessings as a nation, have got to stand with the Jewish people. They've now, of course, you know that our administration is now sending some additional troops to the Middle East. But I hear again, I don't trust them with the Middle East any more than I trusted them with Afghanistan. And you saw what a disaster that was, right? Saw how pull out of that was. Or any more than I trust them with Zelensky and the Ukraine. Because these people don't function with the best interests of our country at hand. You know, they hate the term, the expression America first. They hate it. They don't like it. You don't hear them say, well, I don't agree with Donald Trump about everything, but I do agree America first. I mean, sure, we have to put our own country first. You don't hear them say that because they don't believe that. They're globalists. And they're always trying to figure out how to be a part of creating some kind of world hegemony in government. These people are, the reason why they don't care about people invading our country at our southern border is because they don't believe in American sovereignty. They just don't. Now, if I were to debate with one of them, they say, oh, of course we do. Yes, we do. But they could say that all day long. But their actions speak louder than their words. They really don't. So they have no interest in supporting Israel because they see Israel as an important ally politically or militarily or spiritually. They would only do it because they think it's what they've got to do in order to maintain their own political well-being. And if they think they could get away with stabbing Israel in the back without endangering their own political well-being, they'd gladly do it. They have no interest in Israel. They hate Netanyahu because he is an absolutely unapologetic defender of the nation of Israel. And that's not what they want. They want a needle threader. They want somebody who'll bob and weave and dance and, you know, got to be like them about America. Well, let's not be too patriotic about this. After all, you might be a Christian nationalist. So God is doing a work in this world right now. We are living at an unprecedented moment in the history of mankind, because we are witnessing Israel's fight for its existence, something that the scripture told us would happen. Now, we're not full blown into the Great Tribulation. I'm not suggesting that. But Jesus said it would be like a woman in travail, like a woman who is having contractions leading to birth. And the contractions would get bigger and more frequent and bigger and more frequent until ultimately you have the baby delivered. He used that as an example of what was going to happen when the world comes crashing in on itself at the end. That's what we're witnessing right now. So there's some concern that Israel may be the place that precipitates World War III. I don't believe that. I don't see any indication of that in Scripture, at least not at this stage of our historical development. But even if that were the case, I would rather go down standing and fighting with Israel than bow the knee to the Chinese communist government or to any other of these godless forces on earth that hate Israel and hate us. So it looks like Israel's fighting a two-front war, never a good thing, the Hezbollah in the north, and really Gaza, which I guess you could say is kind of in the, I think it would say Gaza would be in the east, I think, if my geography serves me correctly. But either way, they're not going to be defeated, because God is not going to allow it to happen. When Jesus comes, Israel will not have been defeated, because Jesus is not going to allow it to happen. It is going to be God that judges Israel, not this world. Now, the whole world's going to gather against them. That's quite clear. The book of Revelation makes that quite clear. Daniel makes that quite clear. When the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, oh yeah, they're going to try their very best to take over. They're going to try to drive Israel into the ground. And we hear that with Iran right now. So let's talk a little bit about that. We don't trust this administration. We don't trust leftists because it's not in their hearts. Because strategically speaking, and folks, if I were president of the United States of America, I would not have allowed Iran to have a single solitary dime. Not a dime. And you've got this administration that's probably made it possible for them to be enriched by about $10 billion, maybe more. We lifted sanctions, allowed them to collect $6 billion, and think that another $4 billion. It's the same thing I've said about the way we treat our borders. We're cutting our own throats. Or maybe I should not say we're not cutting our own throats. They're cutting our throats for us. Thank you very much. Because they're financing the people who want us dead. And does that make any sense to you at all? And you here again, folks. It doesn't make a bit of sense unless you change the premises. Because the premise we begin with is, oh, these leaders are trying to look out for our country. Well, now I don't understand why they're financing Iran. I don't understand why they're allowing Iran to have all this money. making it possible for them to access all these resources. That doesn't make sense. But it does make sense if you consider that they're not trying to protect America. They're not trying to defend the American people. In one way or another, they've got other motives. You may not be entirely clear on what those motives are, but we know the motive is not protect and defend America at all costs and protect and defend our allies, protect and defend Israel. Those clearly, that's because Israel is financing Hezbollah. Iran is financing Hezbollah. Iran is financing Hamas. In fact, Iran is financing terrorism everywhere they can, including plotting to kill Donald Trump. The distinction is so stark. And you know, folks, again, it ultimately transcends politics and personality. This is ultimately not about Donald Trump versus Kamala Harris. This is ultimately about good versus evil. This is ultimately about those who seek the best for the American people with the wisdom of the ages, of our founding fathers and our Constitution, and those who are seeking their own interests and the interests of globalism and would undermine the sovereignty of the United States of America in order to buy themselves a seat at that wicked table. The table of the World Economic Forum or the table of whatever little global vision they have for this world. They see themselves as part of that. And if surrendering the sovereignty of the United States of America is what it takes in order to get themselves a seat at that world table, consider it done. And the rest of us are reaching over to try to grab the dagger out of our backs, having been betrayed by our own leadership. But that's where we are. I mean, Donald Trump has pointed it out. The Keystone pipeline shut down, but the oil pipeline that Putin wanted to put in place to help him to undermine our ability to keep our allies dependent upon us rather than upon our enemies. He said, no, fine, go right ahead. It doesn't make a bit of sense. We took oil from our strategic reserves and sold it to China. So, again, you can't make sense of that if you begin with the premise they're looking out for America, because it doesn't make any sense to do those things looking out for America. It doesn't make any sense to have a wide open border. Now we've got this new Venezuelan gang that is coming over, and I'm told that they're spreading out all over the country, and they're trained by the Venezuelan rogue government to know how to go in and take over neighborhoods and take over apartment buildings. They're different than these other gangs. In fact, I heard one expert say, it is not even appropriate to think of them as a gang. You really need to think of them as a military operation inside our country in sufficient numbers that they can carry out these operations. And we know that that's what open borders leads to. You know you're going to bring in people who are out to hurt you, out to hurt your communities, out to hurt your families with all kinds of wicked intentions toward this country. But we keep bringing them in. You cannot explain that with the premise that our government officials are trying to look out for the welfare of the American people and the national security of our nation. Because it clearly doesn't fit within that rubric. So We, as Americans, all of us, and particularly the Christian community, we've got to get together and we have got to vote together based upon our Christian values and understanding of every cultural, racial, ancestral background. It doesn't matter. As Americans, as Christians, we've got to come together and say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that truth is going to be reflected in who I vote for, who I support, where I stand, because I want my nation to be a nation that God can be pleased with. I can't support people who are interested in doing things that I know are displeasing to God. If we as Christians will come together and do that, forgive the racial references, but for lack of a better vocabulary right now, black, white, Asian, Indian, Hispanic, South American, wherever, European ancestry, African ancestry, Asian ancestry, you name it, Middle Eastern ancestry, Eastern European ancestry, wherever. We Christians get together and assert our common vision and our common culture, because whatever ancestral culture our ancestors may have come from, kingdom culture is unifying. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is in all and over all and through all. One family in Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus said that the Word of God says we all should be of the same mind and think the same things. Now I realize there are a bunch of apostates out there and heretics who don't believe the Word of God. And forget about them, because, you know, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And if we can't agree on the Word of God being truth, then we're not walking together. But those of us who can agree that the Word of God is truth must walk together. Okay, look, I'm running out of time. I want to encourage you to go to my Facebook page and check out the sermon I preach called To Be a Constitutional Republic. I just preached that this past Sunday. It's on my Facebook page, and I think you can find it elsewhere as well. I'm pretty sure it's on my Rumble account. You won't have any difficulty finding it, I'm sure, if you go to my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR or Bishop E.W. Jackson. It's on. I've got a personal Facebook page and a fan page. Check it out at either one, because I really got some tremendous feedback on that message that people really thought it illuminated some things for them. I had members coming up to me say that every American needs to hear that. Well, I don't have the ability to make sure that every American hears it, but I certainly want you to hear it and then share it with others. And somebody asked me, can you break it down into small parts? And I did a whole exposition on the four forms of government. And I said, basically, there are only four forms of government. Sometimes they're called by different names, but they really boil down to four different things. I won't get into the details on that, but I certainly talked about, quote unquote, democracy. Yeah, democracy. Mobocracy is what it ultimately becomes. And without the restrictions of a constitutional republic, it becomes the tyranny of the majority over the minority. And I think that's exactly what the left wants. They want to be able to dictate to the rest of us by saying, well, we got a majority, it's a democracy. You don't have any freedom of speech in this case because we've declared it hate speech. You have to shut up. Yeah, We've declared your weapon to be an assault weapon, and you don't get to keep that because we've declared that you don't have a right to keep and bear that arm. So I talk about, you know, democracy versus our constitutional republic. Check it out. All right, well, that's going to do it for today. God bless each and every one of you. I hope this has been helpful to you, given you a lot of food for thought. We are at a defining moment in our country. We really are. We are at a defining moment. And sadly, most Americans are not well-informed enough to understand that, most. But those of us who are need to do everything we can to see to it that the ship of state is righted and moves in a godly direction. And that means voting. That means supporting candidates who agree with us. That means getting active, working the polls, being a poll watcher on the inside to make sure that our elections are being handled with integrity. In other words, just making the scrutiny so intense that it's hard to cheat and get away with it. We got to do everything in our power to see to it that this election is handled fairly and with honesty and honor, and that we get leadership that is going to lead this direction, lead this nation in the great direction that a constitutional republic deserves, rather than the direction a mobocracy wants. So God bless each and every one of you. I am looking forward to seeing how God moves, because I really believe that God is moving in our midst. I really believe that there are the seedlings of a great awakening happening all over the place. We're living in truly historic times. And I think what the body of Christ does is going to determine exactly how this thing unfolds. That is where we have influence, how it unfolds. So it's up to you and me. I believe God is looking to us. Doesn't 2 Chronicles 7:14 say, if my people, doesn't say if the world, if the politicians, if the pundits, if the prognosticators, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. No compromise, no dilution, no backing down, backing off. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We're the key. And I know that we are not going to let God down, because he's certainly not going to let us down. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you all for your prayer, your prayers, your support, and for all that you do to make this wonderful network, American Family Radio, possible. And thank you for being such a blessing to me as well. So you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.